ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سار على سبيله ونهجه ومن استن بسنته ومن اهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، وقد قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى، إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى. صدق الله العظيم. All praise, all thanks is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet again has given us this beautiful opportunity of gathering on the day of Jumu'ah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of appreciating this beautiful day. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of increasing salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on this day. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such that the last day of our life is the day of Jumu'ah. This life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us in this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it as a vehicle, as a transport moving towards Akhirat. And this temporary benefits and enjoyment and luxuries that we have in this world is only a means to assist and help a person to move towards that life that has even more enjoyment, even more luxuries, even more temptations, and that is the life of Akhirat. A person who understands that is a very fortunate person. In other words, he understands that this life is a vehicle. He's got a journey in front, like how when a person is traveling, he doesn't get carried away by the things around him. He's got his objective in front, his destination, and he's moving towards that. So a person who understands this is a very fortunate person. He doesn't need too much of rectification, too much of correction. He's got his goal in front of him and he's moving towards this. There was a great personality by the name of Dawud Tai rahmatullahi alayh. He was the student of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayh. And later on he became the ustad of the ustad of Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayh. So a great personality. So he would explain life and the journey of life like this. He would say that ayyamukum wa layalikum marahila, that your days and your nights are stations. Tazawwadu laha, prepare and take some provision for this journey, for the stations that you have to travel, for this journey across the stations that you have to go, that take some type of provision. Now just to understand what is meant by your days and your nights are stations. If a person, for example, is leaving for Hajj, and there's just a few days left before the days of Hajj. In other words, he's taking one of the last few flights to go. So this person, maybe he'll fly from Durban to Johannesburg. Now when he goes to Johannesburg, that is one station. He'll stop there and he'll wait for the next flight. The next flight he'll take now from there maybe to Dubai. Now from Dubai, he'll take another flight from there to Jeddah. So all these stops are stations. Now if a person decides at one station, if he stops in Johannesburg and he looks and he sees there's so nice tall buildings here, there's so much of an atmosphere, things are buzzing, and he gets carried away. There's only a few days left for Hajj. What will happen? He'll decide, now let me change my ticket because I'm looking at these buildings. In Durban, we don't have buildings like this. So because of the beauty, he's saying, let me stay a few more days. So he changes his ticket to delay it. And now after he delays it, he's seen enough in Johannesburg. Now he decides, let me go to Dubai. When he goes to Dubai, he gets a shock of his life. He said, I thought Johannesburg had big buildings. And look at the buildings here in Dubai. Look at that glitz. Look at that beauty and the architecture of the buildings here. This is nothing compared to what I saw there in Johannesburg. And he gets more impressed there and he decides he wants to stay longer and longer. Before he knows it, the days of Hajj also will pass and this person now will be in permanent regret that why did I waste my time at the stations? Why didn't I go towards my journey? So life is like that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given every day a chance. Every day Allah Pak has made a station. Every night Allah Pak has made a station. But these stations repeat itself. But when a person passes away and now he reaches the bigger station and the station of Qabr, there is no reversing anything. Here a person can still maybe go back for Hajj the next year. He can still repeat that station. He'll still get another day, he'll still get another night. But when he reaches the station of the Qabr, there's no turning back and there's no coming back. So therefore we are taught when we are going to sleep every night to remind ourselves of that journey that we are going to, that journey that is ultimately death. Allahumma bismika amut wahya. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in your name, with your name do I pass away, and O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with your name do I come back to life. In other words, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are giving me this temporary maut. This mode where I'm becoming oblivious of the people around me, of what is happening around me. This is some type of oblivion that I'm going through, but it's a temporary oblivion. A person is reminding himself that time is going to come when he'll be totally oblivious of the details of what is happening around. There'll be no life in the body also. So he's thinking about maut before he's sleeping. And then when a person is waking up, he's saying, Alhamdulillahi alladhi ahyana. All praise is due to that being that has granted me life. In other words, he's given me respite. He's given me another chance. He's given me another day. Ba'dama amatana. After he has caused me to pass away, this maut, the sleep that I have is like death. Wa ilayhi nushur. But I'm reminding myself that the day is going to come when I'll still have to go back to him. And when I go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when I'm going to go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then in that qabr there's no coming back to the dunya. When I'm going to be resurrected again, there's no coming back to the dunya. This is the opportunity I've got. So now a person is reminding himself. And when he's thinking about this maut that he's going to, he's thinking to himself also that Allah Pak has made this qabr such that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us that either this is a pit from the pit of Jahannam or it is a garden from the garden of Jannah. In other words, the beauty, the enjoyment, the glamour, whatever can make please a person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept it there and ultimately in Jannah. So a person is reminding himself of this hadith, مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ, that no eye has ever seen, no matter what he has seen in the world. It doesn't matter where he went to see what beauty he has seen, no eye has ever seen the beauty of Jannah. No ear has ever heard of the beauty of Jannah, nor has the thought of the beauty of Jannah crossed anybody's mind. So now he is thinking how I can get that type of beauty, how I can achieve. And ulama explain that one experience would Jannah, one experience would qabr, where a person is just exposed to Jannah. Every type of hardship in this dunya is forgotten. No matter what hardship he went through, whether it was financial, whether it was psychological, whether it was physical, whether it had to do with his spiritual, whether it had to do with his physical self, whether it had to do with his family, no matter what problem he had, business problem or other type of problems he had, one exposure to akhirat and the beauty of Jannah is enough to make this person forget about every type of difficulty that he experienced, irrespective of how difficult it was. But just that little bit of exposure to the Jannah and the beauty, everything is forgotten of the difficulties of this world. The ulama explain that they are, if a person wants this type of ticket, one is a ticket of a person going and traveling overseas, one is a ticket to Jannah, and an easy way for us, how do we get this? We know that this is a journey, and we want to get the Jannah that is in front of us, so there are three easy steps. The first step, ulama explain, is لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. That person, or the pre-requirement, the prerequisite of getting this ticket to go to Jannah, is a person must have Iman. He must believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person has got everything else but he doesn't have Iman, then this is like that passport, like a person who comes to South Africa, just for an example, but he doesn't come with a passport, he comes illegally. He may build up an empire here, he may build up investments and he may have a lot of accounts and what have you, illegally he's got because he's not here legally. The moment he's caught up with, whether it's the scorpions or the hawks or the receiver, immediately everything gets frozen. Why? This person is here illegally. So that prerequisite of doing business here was he should have been here legally. So all that suddenly gets confiscated. This person is here illegally, he's here fraudulently, all the documents were wrong. So this gets taken away. So the first requirement is Iman. When a person has Iman, now whatever actions he does, these actions are accounted for him and they will be accounted for on the day of Qiyamah. So the first is Iman. وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. The second condition is we must have our trust on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make everything work for us. Allah is the one that causes us benefit. Allah is the one that causes us harm. And whatever we need to do is just our exercise from ourselves. Ultimately, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the doer. And the third thing ulama explained, وَالَّذِينَ يَجْتَنِبُونَ كَبَائِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَالْفَوَاحِشِ. Those people that refrain. So one is have Iman and have trust on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third thing now is refrain kaba'ir al-ithmi from major sins completely. A person doesn't justify any major sin. He knows if interest is haram, full stop, I'm not going to try and justify it and see how I can work around it and make a loophole and see, never mind, we'll call this thing profit or we'll change the details and we'll say, no, this is just a dividend. A person will work around, finish, it's haram. I'm not going to try anything to try and justify it. I'm happy with the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbade photography. I'm not going to try and justify it. Sometimes you'll be surprised how people try and justify to appease their own minds. There was one person many years ago, I still remember he told me he bought a big television screen. So he says, you know what, I didn't buy this thing to watch videos, or I never buy it to watch any movies. I just bought this big screen here to watch adverts. Only adverts I'm going to watch. So sometimes to make ourselves happy, then we'll say things like that. But وَالَّذِينَ يَجْتَنِبُونَ كَبَائِرَ الْإِثْمِ, that person that refrains 100% from what Allah Pak has forbidden, there's no such thing as justifying, appeasing ourselves. If Allah Pak has made something impermissible, full stop, that's where it is. It's impermissible, I don't want to do it. وَالْفَوَاحِشِ, the next thing is this person, he refrains from those things that are lewd. And I'll terminate on this, those things that are immoral, and we can see it today. Intermingling, sometimes you'll find that a person goes to a walima, something supposed to be a sunnah, and there's total intermingling, the ladies, how they dress, open hair, short sleeves, sometimes indecently dressed, and the men and women are all mixing, and we're thinking that we are doing something good. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has warned us, فَاتَّقُوا الدُّنْيَا وَاتَّقُوا النِّسَىٰ, that beware of the temptations of this world, and beware of women. So how can we ever be in certain gatherings and certain places where the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking place? So very simply put, is a person wants the ticket to Jannah, then these three things you must have. First, we must get our iman correct, a full belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, trusting in Him totally. And the third thing is, what Allah has made haram, it's haram, full stop. What Allah Pak has made halal, we can take part of. And beware of anything that is immoral, anything that is lewd, anything that is fawahish, that forms part of immorality, we stay away totally. We don't get ourselves involved in it at all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of making amal. Brothers, just one announcement.